All right, good morning, everyone. Again, Happy New Year. All right, I'm just going to ask just to see if there's any daring souls out there. I see a lot of empty spaces in the front and second rows. And if you want to scoot on forward, just go ahead and get up right now where you are and make your way boldly to that front row, to that second row, that change. Anybody out there? Oh, I got one. Yeah, I got two. Come on, three. Come on, you guys. Look at you guys. You're like, I am comfortable where I'm at. Well, you guys are good. Thank you. I just really appreciate Caleb's word last week, Isaiah 43. Yes. That. What is God going to do? God's going to do a new thing, right? How many of you are anticipating a new thing? How many of you are like, I am not getting through this season without a new thing? Like, I feel like some of us are in this room and you're like, God, if you don't do a new thing, I'm not surviving. Like, I need a way to open up in the wilderness. I need rivers in the desert. I need you to do something that only you can do. Anybody out there? All right, can you stand to your feet? If you say that's you, I want you to stand to your feet this morning. We're just going to, you know, do church a little different this morning. Any point in the service, you can receive. I really believe, and I saw some of you out there this morning, and specifically God just focusing in on you and saying that he's going to do a new thing in you. And it's not based on any other family member. God just has it in his heart to do a new thing in you. And some of you are just holding on to this truth. You grabbed onto it, and you're like, yes, God, create this new thing. So, Lord, I lift up the hearts that are represented here standing in this room. And, Lord, I just pray over them today. I pray your life into them, that you would create a way in the wilderness where it seems like there has been no way, no direction to go, that you would clearly map out this next season for them, and you open up those steps, you would direct like a lamp to their feet, Lord, that you would open up the way that they are to go. And I pray, Lord, right now for rivers and refreshing in desert times, in difficult times, that even in the challenges, there would be a refreshing place that they would find in your presence, in your powerful, wonderful, most beautiful name. I pray this. Amen. Amen. God bless you. He is good. So good. Randy, is that you right there? Yes, it is you right there. Hey, I just, again, saw you in worship this morning too, and I saw God breaking ceilings off of you, and I see God making you with a David's heart, like King David, with powerful worship. And it doesn't mean that you necessarily play an instrument. I don't know if you do, but it's just, I see you blasting worship music, like true worship music, really blasting it, and it's like just releasing a new and fresh atmosphere. And I pray, and I know that God has giving you the ability to understand the weapon of praise. And I feel like things that are trying to come down on you, that you release praise in order for that thing to be removed. Just as David did with Saul and the disturbing spirit that would come upon him, he would play an instrument and that would come down. And I just know that God has given you this weapon. And so go ahead and worship. Go ahead and at the top of your lungs, doesn't matter if you sing or not, it's from the heart and God sees that. And I see the ceilings breaking off of you today. So I just bless you with that word today. Bless you. If anything applies to you today, just take it. You know, you don't have to have just a, you know, name called out or whatever. You just take it and go, yes, for me too, Lord, for me too. Ah, the word and the spirit are one. And even as I was preparing this message, I just found myself keep wanting to sing out or not really sing, but just pray out in tongues as the words would come forth in my mouth. And I just reminded that his word and the spirit of God are one. And there's power in his word to release things in us. So I hope you really take this word today and just let it sink in. I want to talk about digging wells. I mean, you guys have the notes probably in front of you, so you even know right there what I'm going to cover, but digging wells. And I want to jump into Genesis 25:11. I'm going to read a rather large portion of scripture, so you'll have to stay with me. If you have your Bible, you can open it, but only one verse in chapter 11, and then we're going to jump into chapter 26 and land there. But chapter 25 says this, and it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well Lahai Roi. All right, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Let's jump to chapter 26. And there was a famine in the land. besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. And then the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and to your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands. And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." Wow, so now we're going to jump a few verses here, because he goes and he hangs out with Abimelech and he's like, "Hey, baby girl, Rebecca, wifey, you are so gorgeous that they're going to want to marry you. So can you just say that you're my sister so they don't kill me for your sake," right? You know, you're familiar with that story, right? So, you know, they're pretending they're sister and brother, but he starts flirting with his wife. He can't stay away. He gives her a little pinch on the booty one day, and, you know, Abimelech sees it, and he's like, "Wait, that's not your sister," you know? And so he's like, "What are you doing?" You know? And so he sends him away, and then we pick up in verse 12, and then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. That's quite a word right there. And for he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. And now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father, and they had filled them with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we." And then Isaac departed from there, and he pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water, which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. And he called them by the names which his father had called them. Also, Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." So they called the name of the well Esek, because they quarreled with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. So he called the name Sitna. And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called it Rehoboth, because he said, "For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." So, Lord, I pray today this word would be like a hammer and a nail altogether. Lord, that you would drive in the truth of your word into our lives, and that we would be able to literally hang our lives on the word that you've spoken. Lord, powerfully speak to our hearts today in your name. Amen. Amen. So here, Isaac, his dad has passed away, and it says that he's living where? He's living by the well Lehi Roi. He's living by this well. What does this well have significance? Most of us don't just jump right to the, you know, definition unless we're great, you know, scholars of the word, and we go, "Oh, yes, I know." But this well means the well of the living one seeing me. The well of the living one seen me. And it was named after the angel of the Lord encountered Hagar. She had run. She was in troubled times. Sarah was mistreating her, and she had run away into the wilderness. She had run away, and there she found a spring of water. And the angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "Honey, you're with a baby. You have a son inside. You're going to name him Ishmael, the Lord who sees, hears, the Lord that hears. And you're going to name him this, and I'm going to bless him. I'm going to be with you. Go back to where you were. Go back to that place, because I'm going to bless this guy." And the angel of the Lord tells her what this child will be like, everything. And so what does she do? She calls out, and she's like, "Wow, this well, this place of water is a place of the one, the living one, seeing me. He's the one that knows me. He sees all." And it's really, you know, how many times do you want just to know that God just sees you, he knows? I mean, it's just like, "God, you just, I know you see, I know you know. And this is where Isaac is at. I remember being in high school and my parents had just recently gotten divorced and I had to move down to Merced. And I was down in the valley. You know, you go down in these valleys. And it was a valley, not just physically, it was a valley of life. And I was going down in this valley of pain and frustration and no friends. And I had to, you know, make new friends. And I was away from the church that I loved. And here I was in this place. And I'm crying out, praying with all my might in my room. You know, I just like going for it. God, do you see me in this time? I need to know that you see me, that you just know what's going on in my heart. I feel so broken. I feel all alone. Oh God, if you just speak to my spiritual father, you would tell him that I need somebody to reach out to me. I need somebody. And sure enough, God in that place hears the cry. This girl, Rachel, just lonely as could be, you know, just alerts my spiritual father here in Novato, who's sensitive to his voice. Something's going on with Rachel. You need to touch base with her. Well, I didn't get a phone call for weeks. I didn't know God heard me. I didn't get anything. I'm like, okay, just pick it up. Keep going, you know. Just keep going, keep on trucking. And here I came to visit on, you know, again, because I would drive, you know, from Merced all the way back because I couldn't stay away. You know, I just wanted to come for church. I just wanted to be in the special presence of God. And I wanted to be here, which, you know, God was doing something in me, obviously. But I wanted to be here in this place, in Novato, to visit God. And not that I can't visit him other places. And my uncle comes up to me, my spiritual father, and he says, Rachel, what was happening this many weeks ago? It was on this day I heard the Lord spoke to me, and I was supposed to reach out to you and talk to you. And I knew God was the God who sees. The living God, he sees and he knows. How many of you have experienced him like that? Where you know he sees you. You know that he knows you. And Isaac is sitting there. His father has passed away, and he's living by the well of the living one who sees and knows. He's filling himself from the water of this well, from the drinking in the truth of this well. He's letting it just overflow into his being. And he's really, I am a chosen child. I am a special son. I am a promised son. The Lord sees and knows me. The Lord called me out before I was formed in my mother's womb. It was in his heart that I would be born. And he's just drinking this water, right? He's letting it go down into his being. And this is the reality, you guys. We are blessed children. You're like, I feel like I'm more like an Ishmael. Some of us feel that way. And yet God was with him and blessed him and multiplied him. You are a blessed child of God. Oh, just say it. I'm a blessed child. I'm a chosen child. Some of you don't believe that. I mean, if you don't get anything else out of my message, get this, that you really, this is the reality. You are a blessed child. In Peter, 1 Peter 2:9, it says this, but you are a chosen generation. He picked you out. He says, your chosen is you're my favorite. You pick your favorite, right? You go to the buffet, you don't, you know, eat the stuff you don't like. You pick your favorite. Some of us go directly to the dessert line. You know, like, give me what I really want. The reason I'm here. He did that. He's like, you're really what I want. You're the chosen generation. This is family, kindred. You are my chosen ones. And he's speaking this over us. You are a royal priesthood. You belong in the courts of the king. Oh, a holy nation. Now, a peculiar people. Some of us relate more to that statement. Special. You are special that you should show forth the praises or the virtues of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Do you really know that you're a chosen people? That you are a blessed people? Are you drinking from that well saying, oh, wow, he knows me, he sees me, he cares about me that much that he takes note of my life, and you're drinking that in? I'm a blessed child. I'm a chosen child. I have promises over my life. Are you starting to walk with a little Christian swagger in your life? You know, I don't know. We need Patty up here with her purple boots. You know, we need to like, we need to walk with a little Christian swagger. I've been blessed. Me. That's what rests upon my life. Wait a minute. You guys, I feel it this morning. Some of you, this is like not even, it hasn't sunk in. It hasn't gotten under your skin yet to realize that you truly are a blessed child of God. I'm going to do something crazy this morning. If this makes people uncomfortable, I'm so sorry. Just a little uncomfortableness is good, though. Anybody, you feel like, hey, I just really need to identify with this word that I am a blessed child of God. If that's you, go ahead and stand this morning. It's okay. It doesn't matter. You can go ahead and stand. We want to pray for you this morning. Anybody in this room, you'd be bold. Yes, just you and Stan. Let's go ahead and do it right now. Anybody say, I need to realize, yes, that's right. Right. Come on, you guys. I need to realize how blessed I am. I need to realize I'm a chosen child. I need to realize that God speaks to me and says, you're mine. I picked you. You're my favorite. You're my favorite. So I want you to reach around to those that are near you guys. Reach around. Come on. Let's all do this group family. We're a big family here. We love each other. We love all the stages we're at, all the growth areas we're at. We do. Let's do it. Lord, we thank you for your incredible, perfect love. We thank you that you picked us, that you can write across our foreheads mine, belonging to the Lord, belonging to him, wanted and desired. And Lord, I just pray for your want, your desire, your love to flow over the hearts, the minds, the thoughts. Lord, that literally would get under our skin. It would get inside of us. We would be drinking from this well this morning, this well of that you are the one who lives, sees, and knows, and you've chosen us. You've chosen us. Lord, bring healing to hearts where there needs to be healing. I just pray that you'd break off every spirit of rejection, every spirit of isolation, every spirit that lies, that say that they do not belong or they're not wanted. And in place of God, I just release that word that they are wanted and desired and your favorite. Your favorite. That they would walk in the truth that they are loved that deeply, that greatly. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We're all going to stand for something today. Why not? You're like, come on. Like, this is church. We came here for a reason. I mean, half the work, 50% of it is just showing up, but we need the other 50%, right? Some of us are like, I made it to church. That is my accomplishment this morning. I have those days, you guys. I'll just be honest. I'm a pastor here at Staff, and I have the days where, like, I got there. I mean, 50% of the battles, I showed up at 9 a.m., you know? Actually, I showed up 8:45, whatever. I showed up earlier than the service started. I got there. But now the other 50% is I got to receive what God has for me. I got to give out what God has through me. I don't just, you know, that's half. So we do the other half, right? All right. So you got here, and we're celebrating that you got here. I'm celebrating that you're here this morning. Give yourself a pat on the back. You're here this morning. You made it into church. And now let's get the other 50%. This isn't a very unusual message, by the way. It is your first time here. Services are maybe a little different than this normally. So please come back again. And I'm being serious, though. And experience another one, too. Just, you know, because everybody's, you know, cup of tea or whatever. Okay. I like coffee personally. So, you know. All right. So let this truth sink in. Let it sink in that you are chosen, that you are blessed, that you are walking around. It's like I'm the only son. Daddy's favorite. That's what he says. Where's your Christian swagger? I mean, I feel like we need a little bit more of this. I don't know, I'm talking to some weird, like putting everybody else down because I'm great. But there's just a recognition, a realization, something that you walk in your heart, in your mind, your thoughts. That's where your thoughts go. It's like, oh, he knows me and he loves me. All right. 1 John 3, 1a, just in case you need another scripture to hang this truth on, it says, behold, perceive, understand, begin to really comprehend what manner of love, agape, that the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. He's not scared to call you his child. He's not ashamed to call you his. You are his child. So, Isaac here, let's get back to him. Now that we see that he's been living and drinking out of this well, we pick up in chapter 26 and verse 1, it says, there was a famine in the land. There was scarcity, hunger in the land. And the Lord spoke to him, dwell in the land, verse 3, sojourn in the land. And verse 12, Isaac sowed in that land. He stayed there in that land. Now, it's interesting because in the days of Abraham, it even mentions this, that in Genesis 12, that there was a famine similar to this time in the days of Abraham. And what did Abraham do? He went down and he sojourned in Egypt. He went down and he dwelt in Egypt for some time. And the Lord spoke to Isaac and says, I don't care what your daddy's done. This is what I am telling you to do. Don't go down to Egypt. Dwell and stay here. And I believe God is bringing freedom in this time of a new wineskin, saying it doesn't matter how it's been done before. I'm making a new way in the wilderness. I'm making a new way. Get prepared. The container is different because it's got to hold the new thing that God is doing. And so if you look at previous generations, the Isaiah 43 word is what? Forget the former things because I'm about to do a new thing. And it's in God's saying, it doesn't matter how somebody did it before. I'm about to do a new thing in and through your life. And you need to stay here. You need to live it out here. So that brings me to point number one this morning. I already had some points, right? I feel like whatever. We can be in favor and famine. We can live in favor and famine at the same time. Let's chew on that. Okay, so now that we realize we're blessed and children of the highest, we have to realize that I can still be in favor, absolute blessing as a child of God, and live in famine at the same time. Just because famine comes does not remove the blessing of God off my life. Blessing and difficulty are not mutually exclusive. We tend to think that blessing sometimes exempts us from all types of challenges, struggles, and difficulties as Christians. And today you may be in a marriage crisis, but you are still blessed. You may be in a health emergency, but you are still blessed. You may be in a job disruption, but you are still blessed. Oh, you may be in a relational dispute, but you are still blessed. It may be pouring in Novato for weeks, and you are still blessed. Your house may have flooded last week, but you are still blessed. You get it? Joseph was favored, but sold into slavery and then put into prison. Abraham was favored and then yet had no children. Moses was favored and found himself living in a desert for 40 years. Hannah was favored and yet was barren. David was favored and then he was running from a crazy king for years on end. Story after story, Job was highly favored and he lost absolutely everything. Everything. You can be in favor and famine at the same time. 1 Corinthians 16:9, to put it into the new covenant, the apostle wrote it this way: for a great and effective door has been opened to me. Incredibly, incredible opportunity, incredible advantages has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries. We want, and there were no adversaries. And there were no difficulties. It was all beautiful. It says an amazing door was open, and yet there was opposition. And blessing and trial. Blessing and difficulty. Blessing and challenges. Favor and famine. You can have them both at the same time. Point number two. We are to be a people full of faith and not fear. Full of faith, not fear. This is something we all know. But it's time, really, I feel like those wineskins, that picture again, that what are we putting in this new wineskin? What are we putting in ourselves, our minds, our hearts, our lives? What are we depositing in there? And it's time to get the dirt out. And we start by getting the dirt out of our thoughts, what's on the inside, before we work on the dirt that's on the outside. We work on what's inside of us before we tackle all this other stuff on the outside. And Isaac had to do this. He had to learn to sojourn, to dwell or live in faith, just as his father Abraham did. It says he lived in the land. He dwelt in the land. He walked around in the land in faith. And so we need to walk around in the words that God has given us and the promises he's given us, and we need to live in them in faith. Isaac was commanded not to go down to Egypt and to live where God tells him to live. How many know you do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? And here he's been given a word and he's like, it's not about sustenance right now. It's about my word. And you will be blessed if you live according to my word. New Testament's the same thing. You will be blessed if you live according to his word. So how are you guys living in the land that God has sent you in? How's that Marin County life? How are you living here? How, are you full of fear? Are you walking around in faith? Are you anxieties crippling you every single day? Are you saying, God, you said to stay here? I'm resting. I'm hanging myself on your word, on that nail of your word. I'm putting my life on who you are. And Lord, while I'm here, boy, I'm going to make it a better place. I'm going to start digging some wells. I'm going to start seeing rivers in the desert. Springs of life are coming. I'm going to hit some water. It's not just a well that you drop a little bucket down and you pull back up. I'm going to hit some rivers of water, some undergrounding rivers, and they're going to spring forth. And there's going to be a life source that's never even been seen before because I'm living in faith. I am sojourning my time here in faith. How's the living going? How is it going? At times we want to go where there's already been breakthrough, where it seems like it's Texas. I mean, it seems like we dream of no resistance and no challenge, and it seems almost everybody believes the same that we believe, and they like the same things that we like, and houses are not $1 million. They're only $250,000, and we just like... Come on, you guys, you know what it is. Like, but God said, I didn't send you there. I sent you here. I put you here. Chosen generation, my family right here. I put you here. And we want to, I don't know. We get so used to all our society. We start having a generation growing up on rewards for everything and accolades and ribbons and trophies for participation. And that infuses our spiritual lives and our mindsets, and we don't want to show up because there's nobody cheering us on. There's nobody coming to church with a participation ribbon. You made it to church! Everybody gets a ribbon, everybody gets a trophy. You know, and we're in this incredible battle, but strength grows when we're uncomfortable and we push through, not just when you're uncomfortable. Because we can be uncomfortable and whine and complain and turn back around. But we grow in strength as we push through that challenge. And God may have asked you to carry more than you think you are capable of carrying right now. And he's saying, push through it. And it feels like pressure. It feels like a weight. And I'm here this morning. I wrote this word down a couple months ago. I've been praying on this one for a while. And I wrote this one down for a while. And the Lord says, don't put the weights down. Don't put the weights down. Come on, if you, like, you know, it's the new year. Some of us are trying to get back in shape, you know, everything we ate for the last 6 months, you know, we're trying to burn off in 1 month. We're waiting for miracles to happen. But we pick up these weights, right? And you're in a weight class and you're doing this thing and your arms are burning, your biceps are burning. And no, you got to do one more. It's when that burn happens, what strength? You're getting stronger in that moment because you're pushing beyond what you're comfortable with, what's normal for your body. And you're pushing into that new place. And the Lord does this spiritually to us. He says, you're my blessed children and you're going to be strong children. He doesn't want some little weakling kids. He wants you to be blessed children that are strong. So don't put the weights down. No more coddling. It's time to grow into your strength. Isaac sowed in that land, a land of famine, a land he was told to stay in. And it says he sowed in the land. And what happens when Isaac sowed in the land? He reaps 100-fold what he sowed. Is that like one seed becomes 100? Everything he deposited down into that land that God commanded him to live in, God took it and multiplied it. And then it says, and God blessed him. Well, I thought the blessing was in the sowing, you know, in the reaping. Like, I thought the blessing, it says, no, he sowed and he reaped. A very biblical principle. If you sow, you will reap. And that God then blessed him on top of that reaping. I love the partnership that we have with the Lord. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Keep the faith, you guys, in the land that you live. And this is what I'm talking about filling. Let your heart, let your mind be full of faith. Let what you chew upon, let the ideas that float through your head go through the filter of faith and not through fear and anxiety. Let it filter through what God is saying and what God is doing. Keep the faith. It's a good fight. It's a fight worth fighting. It's one worth going after. Keep the faith. Don't quit when you lose your job. Don't quit when you lose your spouse, when your kids are running amok and everything seems like it's turned upside down in this world and it doesn't make sense politically. It doesn't make sense and people aren't showing up when they need to. You're no longer like this church service. Still keep the faith. Keep the faith. Yeah, I'm preaching this morning, so. Morning. Good morning. Happy New Year. Grab a shovel and dig. Grab. I mean, come on, you guys. When fear starts to fill and infiltrate the wineskin, the container that you are, grab a shovel and go, no, that doesn't belong here. Get that out. Mm-mm. No Philistines filling my well. I'm to be a living water. I mean, rivers of living water to flow from my very being, according to what Jesus said. And so if dirt starts mucking up that water, I'm getting a shovel out and getting the dirt out. Come on. Dig it out. Dig out unbelief. Dig out anything that's stopping up that life flow. Stick to the promises. This is what Isaac did. He stuck to the promise. In the midst of famine, Isaac clings to the word of God. In the midst of challenge, he clings to that word. He said, I'm to live here, and so I'm going to make it the best place to live. And so we break famine in our lives through continuing to sow, reap, and dig wells. We participate. We don't just walk around, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. I just keep saying, I'm blessed, until my world changes. No, you get the shovel out, you begin to dig into that land, and you begin to work, and you put the seed in the land, you put that seed down, you water it, you get some wells, you start watering this, and you feed your animals, you get muscles on your back. From all that digging, you get stronger. In that resistance, in that hard place, and God blesses you, and a famine is broken. You may feel like you've been in a famine. You may feel like Marin, the Bay Area, is in a famine, and your thoughts are going all different places. But God says, I put you here. I told you, just sojourn, walk around in faith here. Yeah, this is not your final destination. It's heaven. But while you're here, dig. Get the wells release. Get the wells release. Now it says out of envy, just stay with me a few more minutes, I'm almost done, but out of envy, the Philistines filled the wells with dirt. They saw how prosperous Isaac was, and they start dumping dirt into his wells. And so he goes and he starts redigging the wells of his fathers. And I just feel like this is such a timely word for us, that it's time, like if you know of a well that your fathers walked in, your spiritual parents walked in, previous generations walked in, that we are not walking in, you get that shovel out and start digging. It's time to redig the wells. And so they dug some more wells as well. And I want to go over these three wells. Esek, number one, the well that was dug in the valley, as he went and he dwelled in that valley, was Esek. And it was called this because it was a well of contention, a well of strife. Because the herdmen, they came over, and what do? They start striving, contention, fighting over who the rights of this well belong to. So here, Isaac and his servants have done all this work, got the dirt out. They discovered water here. And what happens is the enemy comes and goes, I'm not giving that one over. Mm-mm. And so they name it literally strife. And this is what I like to say, the struggle is real. You start well digging, and the struggle is real, but it's worth it. But it's worth it. Because now life is given to the enemy. Whoa, I mean, that sounds like something Jesus would do, doesn't it? Life is given to his enemies. He's like, okay, you guys have that one. And so they go and they dig another well, and this one they name Sitna. Enmity or hatred. He's like, it's escalated. It's gotten worse. Anybody ever been feel like they're out trying to do what God has asked them to do, and it feels like it's getting worse, not better? Just me and two of you. All right. We understand what this is. I moved from strife to hatred. It's escalated to another level and not in a good direction. And here it is. It's separation. Hatred is separation. And I tell you right now, not everyone's going to like what you do. Not everyone's going to agree with your digging. But if you keep on going and you don't stop there, God's not through with you yet. And the enemy may be coming in to claim that next well, that second well. But don't stop. God's not through with you yet. He's just beginning a new season. It's like he's just beginning. And the energy was used to be used digging the wells and not fighting and disputing over whose well it was. I mean, this is incredible. Because Isaac, remember, he was filled with the truth of the first well that says the Lord sees and he knows all things, the living one. He says, then I don't have to fight for it. God, you see what's going on here. I don't have to fight for this. You're going to give me something else. And so they went and dug a third well. They're like, you can have that one. I'm gonna bless my enemy today. You can have that one. And so right there, they dig another well, and they call it Rehoboth. And the Lord, it says, the Lord has made room for us. Or room enough, wide enough spaces, open spaces. He's like, this is it. We've broken through third well. And this is awesome. I mean, if you go on to read, it says the Lord appears to him at this time, at this well, and says, do not fear, I am with you. I'm gonna bless you. I'm gonna multiply you. Keep on digging, guys. And guess what? Momentum, they don't stop. They dug another well. And they were on a roll. And momentum kept going. They kept, and then they found another well. I mean, they just kept digging well after well. I mean, the discovery process in this is incredible. So the enemies that sent him away, Abimelech, who had sent him away, come and show up and be like, hey, can we make a little agreement with you? Hey, we're back. I know we sent you away, we didn't like you, but we're back again. And can we make an agreement to be friends? Isn't that how God works too? Where we continue on with the things he's put in our heart, we continue on with the word, God will correct, though that needs correction. He will bring it around.